thank Niyesh and Matt for inviting and organizing this seminar. And today I'm talking about two topics, quantity single field inflation and multi-stream inflation in a landscape. And half of them, for each topic, mostly half of it will be existing work and half will be ongoing work. So we start from quantity single field inflation. So we are almost sure that during inflation, we have kind of massive fields during inflation. For example, in string theory, we could have kind of KK MOS or string high mass oscillating MOS or other kinds of MOS. Or for grand unification theory, we might have, say, to solve the monopole problem, originally there might be a little bit massive field than the inflating field. So we are almost sure we have a lot of massive fields during inflation. And what do we mean when we are talking about single field inflation? The answer is simple in the sense that, in the effective field theory sense, that when the other fields, comparing with the inflating fields, the other fields has somehow been quite massive, then we say single field inflation is quite good. However, when we are talking about the other fields are massive, a light field and a heavy field do not have meaning by themselves. They are not absolute, but instead, when we are talking about light field or a heavy field, we are comparing with something. And in this case, for the case of inflation, what we are comparing? Fortunately or unfortunately, we are comparing with, we could have different definition of a light or heavy field. For example, in the background level, if we are comparing the isocurvature direction with the mass of the inflaton, we get to the conclusion that when we are talking about a light direction, we are meaning that the mass is of order a Slerov parameter times the Hubble parameter. This is the story of the background. Basically, we are comparing which field is rolling more quickly. And we could compare the mass of the isocurvature direction in the perturbation level. In the perturbation level, what we are saying is actually, is the mass too big to be surprised by the dynamics of inflation? In other words, we are comparing the mass of the isocurvature direction with the Hubble parameter. So you see there is a gap between here and here. And by quantity single field inflation, Xingang and I was considering the isocurvature direction has a mass of order Hubble parameter. And for this kind of field, there will be no effects at the background level. This is because in the background level, the field is massive, so it will be staying at the effective origin of the potential. However, the field will show up in the perturbations. So in other words, in some sense, the field, the inflation scenario looks like single field, but in some sense, it is looks like multiple field. So we call this scenario quantity single field inflation. And here is a figure in double field inflation to illustrate the situation that if we have one field with very small mass and another field with very large mass, comparing with Hubble parameter, we have single field slow inflation here and here. If we have both of the field has very small mass, we have the conventional monkey field inflation. And if both of the fields has very large mass, we have nice low row, but here there is a possibility that if one field has of order Hubble parameter mass and another field has small mass, we have quantity single field inflation. That's another possibility for tachyonic mass. We are not, currently we are not considering tachyonic mass. So actually it's as follows. So if we are considering a very flat potential, the tachyonic mass is not a too big a problem because anyway the field is rolling down slowly. But if we are considering, say, the mass is of order Hubble parameter, then the mass, the field had better to be stabilized. Otherwise, if tachyonic is not stable and we don't have inflation at all. So we are not considering tachyonic mass in this case.
But for the tachyonic mass, the direction that they
wrote. Yeah, that will be most likely the inflation direction.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm considering the mass of all the Hubble parameter direction is the isocurvature direction. And when we are talking about the masses of all the Hubble parameter, I'm not saying it's exactly Hubble parameter. So there are, again, two possibilities. One possibility is that the mass is, say, a little bit smaller than the Hubble parameter, but not too small. Yeah, this is, for example, a number that I put by hand. So in this case, we have a family of quasi-local shapes, which might be interesting. I will come into a little bit detail, but I will first put the result here. This is a one parameter family of shapes that say if in the future, Planck or large scale structure experiments will by any chance probe, by any chance find a local non-Gaussianity, I think the next step will be to identify whether the shape is exactly local or there is some deformation from the local shape. I think the situation is like the case of a cosmological constant, that once the dark energy is discovered, the next thing is to determine whether the dark energy has dynamics or is a cosmological constant. And the case is the same here, whether the shape is exactly local or is kind of has a turning parameter. And previously, as far as I know, there is only kind of fixed the local shape, but here we could have a turning parameter. So in this way, the mass range of order, this range will be interesting because of the quasi-local shape of non-Gaussianity. And also, there is a possibility that the mass is a little bit greater than the Hubble mass. And we are claiming that this kind of mass will open a transmass window of new physics. By the transmass window, we are actually saying that because from the effective field theory point of view, the large mass will be suppressed by a power law parameter. But if the power law parameter, suppression parameter is not too large, we can still hope that in the future, precise measurements of the CMB or large scale structure, we could get some information about this kind of mass. Yes? I mean that for the local shape, I mean that for the local shape non-Gaussianity, we have the curvature perturbation, say, in one momentum equals to zero case, we have the curvature perturbation will be proportional to k to the 1 over k to the third power. However, if we have quasi-local shape, we will have a parameter here. Something like this, I cannot remember. Anyway, we will have a free parameter here. So this is what I mean by quasi-local. Okay, so let me return to here that in this mass range, the mass is not too large. So we could expect that if we can mirror very precisely in the future experiments, we may see something as a correction from effective field theory. And I can put the story of larger mass in an even fancy way that originally the perturbation mode originates during inflation at a very small wavelength. And during inflation, the wavelength of the perturbation mode expands. So eventually from sub-Hubble scale to super-Hubble scale. In this way, when originally the perturbation mode is very small, there is a debate or open question that whether effective field theory holds for this kind of mass. And actually, this issue can be related to the Trans-Planckian problem. Because in the Trans-Planckian problem, the argument is almost exactly the same as what I'm talking about here, about the wavelength to expand originate from a small wavelength. And the only difference is that for the Trans-Planckian problem, the wavelength comes from the super Planck regime, which is not under control. The physics is unknown, or at least not well known. But here, for the, say, the transmass problem, the physics here is under control. So we can expect to have an explicit calculation for this kind of problem and see whether effective field theory holds for this kind of issue. So in some sense, this kind of calculation can be thought of as a toy model for the Trans-Planckian problem as well. Okay, Previously, I have been arguing that the mass range of order Hubble parameter either slightly larger or slightly smaller. If it exists, it might be interesting in some ways. However, you might still ask that whether they exist at all, or they, if it's not likely for them to exist, there is no point to study it. And we want to also argue that this kind of mass arises quite naturally during inflation. And the reasoning is the eta problem of inflation, that during inflation, if originally we have a field with very light mass and we couple it to gravity in an inflationary background, the field will typically receive a back reaction which to correct the mass, and the mass will be uplifted to of order Hubble parameter. And this is the eta problem for inflation. Now, we want to have, if originally we have multiple light field during inflation, and we want inflation at all, we could do some fine tuning so that we turn one of the mass to be relatively small. So we have slower inflation, but on the other hand, if we do not do extra or other fine tuning, the other masses will be naturally of order Hubble parameter. And this kind of other mass will be the origin, theoretical origin of the Quanzi single field inflation. And indeed, yes. I need to turn the field, but I don't need to turn again. I mean that I turn the inflationary direction, but I don't turn the other direction.
Depends on your context, right?
Especially
whether or not you think H is a natural scale, right?
Right, H is a natural scale.
Well, so in some theories, it will be, but in other theories, it won't be, right? So it might be that you have to tune to get H in the first place.
Yeah.
So I think what you meant is you already tuned the H to be natural field such that the inflaton is past the absence, doesn't suffer from the H problem, the F, the other two naturally.
So there exists, I agree that there exists classes of theories where, particularly if you made one thing very light, don't be able to at the other ones at the scale. But there's other classes of theories which are not interesting for light at all because it's generically hard to get things that are light and that are scalable. So
yeah, that really depends on different point of view. So in this point of view, I take the eta problem as an open question and argue from that. Yeah, of course, one can say from your point of view that, say, which is a natural scale. And
I mean, going back to your previous
yes.
slide, this picture of transplanking being like heavy scalar, that's of course true, with the important difference that you can't calculate the green thing, you can't calculate the red thing.
Yeah.
But you're not expecting things to decouple if M is a border H, right? You're thinking that M is much larger than H.
In the effective field theory point of view, it decouples. But
that normally means, decoupling means that the influence of the other things are suppressed by power of the ratios of the scales, right?
So yeah, that's right.
In this case, H is the light scale, so if M was not heavy compared to H, you're not expecting it to decouple, is that right?
You mean M is heavy?
If M is 3 times H, you're not expecting it to decouple.
I mean, if it is 3 times H, there will be coupling, say, suppressed by of order 10.
It will not decouple.
Okay, yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, but I want to say a little bit something more than that, because I think it's still an open question whether effective field theory applies to this case because of the transplanting problem. Because some people say transplanting problem, the...
You've been talking to Robert too long.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, actually, eventually, I completely agree with you that we didn't find anything that's bigger than kind of effective field theory.
The decoupling is basically, it's quantum mechanics.
I agree.
Theory, right?
Yeah, it's completely.
So it's true that you could imagine making up physics in the red area, which does not decouple. But then the least of your problems is whether inflation gets screwed up. It's why do we understand anything, right? So I would say that it's not crazy to think about things not decoupling, but once you get into the green area, it becomes crazier. Right? So that I know Robert disagrees on that.
Yeah, I agree. So actually, I completely agree with you. But if I talk to different people, this will be a kind of explicit calculation.
Yeah.
So
that's always true.
Yeah, I can use this to talk to different people, and actually the result supports your point of view.
Yeah.
Okay, so And also, so I was talking about the eta problem here. And also, there is an explicit work about, so by Daniel Baumol and Daniel Green, by they are considering the supersymmetry is broken by gravity during inflation, and it indeed leads to a lot of fields with mass of order Hubble parameter. So previously I was talking about why we consider this model, and here there is a simple toy model of that. By the simple toy model, we are considering that the curvature, the inflation direction and the isocurvature direction is coupled by a turning of trajectory. In other words, we are considering that the inflation trajectory is moving in a part of a circle. And here the theta direction is the inflation direction where the potential is quite flat, which is suppressed by a slow roll parameter. And here the sigma direction is the massive direction which has mass of order Hubble parameter, and the potential is not restricted by the slow roll parameter because the field effectively stays at the minimum of the potential. And here we are considering a standard kinetic term, but in polar coordinate. So there is coupling between the theta direction and the sigma direction at the kinetic term. R tilde is the radius of the turning trajectory. So actually it's a redefinition of sigma. So in this way, we redefine that when the sigma field stays at the origin, sigma is zero.
There's a number of geometrical things in that problem, right? There's the curvature scale transverse to the trough, there's the curvature scale along the radius of curvature along the bottom of the trough, there's the curvature scale in the target space, which is at zero. Is there a clean statement about what the effect of, so am I supposing that the last two were lighter than the first one?
Yes.
Then there would be an effective one field description. Is there a characterization of what the effective operators are as a function of those various things?
You mean what's the large mass limit of this case? Is it
if I take the limit where the sigma mass is larger than the other two scales, the problem?
Yeah, I will show that explicitly. A little bit later in the talk, I will show explicitly.
Okay.
What's the large scale, large mass limit of this case?
Okay,
before we show you large mass limit, let me first show the small mass limit. Oh, the case that the field has a mass a little bit smaller than the Hubble parameter. In this case, so because there is turning of trajectory, we have mixing of the we call transfer vertex between the inflation direction and the isocurvature direction. And the coupling constant of this is the theta dot over h, which is the angle of trajectory turned during one Hubble time. And we also have an interaction vertex here. The interaction vertex means that in the isocurvature direction, there might be interaction, which is not suppressed by slow roll parameter. We consider the interaction in the isocurvature direction instead of the inflation direction, because in the inflation direction, the V triple prime term is extremely highly constrained by the slow roll condition. But in the isocurvature direction, there is no such constraint. So we have the correction of the power spectrum, which is of order theta dot over h squared, because we want to mirror curvature fluctuation. So we want to first mix into isocurvature and then to curvature again. So there is a squared factor here. And for the 3-point correlation function, we will have this transfer vertex to the third power and also has an interacting vertex. And again, from the definition of FNL, there is an enhanced parameter. So even if we are in the perturbative regime that this value and this value is small, we could still have large non-Gaussianity. Along the isocurvature.
What about the one with mixtures? Like with one, so you have a triple prime, what about you take the derivative of one along the eigenvalue?
Yeah, that's a good question. So actually in our this simple model, we didn't consider that kind of thing. In other words, at everywhere in the theta space, the sigma potential is the same. So we didn't consider that. But in principle, we could consider that.
So theta dot over h is a slow roll epsilon.
It is not kind of the same kind of slow roll parameter. it could be large, but say it is in principle, it could be greater than one, but we are considering it, say, smaller than one, only because we want to perturbatively calculate the story, kind of this kind of work. We want to calculate perturbatively, but it is not restricted by, say, the scale invariance of the power spectrum, because the field dot is kind of thing that the field is turning in the trajectory as long as the turning has the same speed. The speed is not restricted. And so here are some more details about the power spectrum. So for the power spectrum, from the in formalism, we have two terms of contribution. Here, the C parameter, that one term of contribution comes from that. So because in the in formalism, there is one T bar time ordering and another T time ordering. And the first contribution here comes from that one interaction comes from T bar and another interaction comes from T. And the second term here comes from that both of the interaction comes from T, or both of the interaction comes from T bar. So we have these two terms of interaction, and the new parameter is defined as usual like this. And here is a numerical result of the integration. Now we find we can do it analytically, but anyway, this is a numerical result which shows that the contribution will blow up at the zero mass limit. And actually, this is the IR divergence which you were saying resumming or using the dynamical renormalization group. And I think if we want to consider a massless case, the same method should apply here also by the resummation. But currently we are considering, say, the mass is not zero, so we are not doing the resummation. Anyway, so this is the result of the two-point function, and here is the result for three-point function. For the three-point function, the calculation is long, so I only showed the original formalism, and what we get for the amplitude of the of the result, we also get something like this. And so because it is very small here, so I want to plot in a little bit detail. They are the same. So and also we can calculate Nangalsianity. And as I mentioned before, the Nangalsianity at small mass comes similar to local shape, and at large mass is something similarly to equilateral shape. And there is a physical interpretation of that, that given inflation, when the isocurvature direction has a fluctuation, because of the mass of the isocurvature direction, the fluctuation will roll back to the origin again. And the mass of the isocurvature direction determines how long the fluctuation need how long time to roll back. If the mass of the isocurvature direction is very small, the isocurvature fluctuation will need a long time to roll back to the origin. In other words, the conversion from isocurvature fluctuation to curvature fluctuation will happen merely on super Hubble scales. And from causal consideration, generation of Nangalsianity at a super Hubble scale will be kind of local Nangalsianity. So this is why in the massless limit, we have something similar to local Nangalsianity. And in the massive limit, we have something similar to equilateral, but not exactly the same. The new parameter is the order of Bessel function.
Oh, yeah, right. That new different from the new you have at the board?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the same.
It's the same as the new you have for Blackboard.
Yes, but I cannot remember if this number correct. But anyway, it's the same.
That mass is the theta mass, is it?
The sigma mass.
The sigma.
Yeah, this is the sigma mass. And the theta mass is approximately zero as long as the inflation direction rolls. So basically, we did a de Sitter approximation. for the theta mass.
If the signal mass is almost zero, then that change the background evolution in time
period. Sorry, you mean the which mass, beta or sigma?
Sigma, the one that
is sigma.
So you study and you say one sigma's mass is close to zero, then
yes.
You blow up. But if you just look at the background, then wouldn't if you have a small sigma mass, you wouldn't be able to keep it rolling in a circle as the
yeah,
then the background, I don't know how much it will change the back in the background.
Yes, there is one, this issue, but it is an independent question. So we are considering that the centrifugal force is cancelled by the displacement of the sigma field. So in this case, if the sigma mass is small, we need to go higher into the potential to cancel the centrifugal force. But anyway, we are considering the case that the force is cancelled. So we can still have turning of trajectory, and the blow up is actually means that it's the same IR divergence in the monkey field inflation. And also, from these shapes, another point we want to make is that when examining the squeeze limit of this case, that is something like this, and I cannot remember the number. Anyway, so in the squeeze limit, we have a continuous family of shapes. So the shapes that we obtain is not kind of superposition of known shapes, but kind of a continuous family of new shapes. And that new shapes might be important in the future Planck or large-scale structure experiments. Especially the large-scale structure experiments will be very sensitive to the squeezed limit. And also there is four-point correlation function. We didn't actually calculate the four-point correlation function, but we could easily estimate what's the scaling of the four-point correlation function. So the scaling is as follows. We can have this kind of diagram and this kind of diagram. So the estimator of the four-point function will be the maximum of the order of this diagram and the order of this diagram. And one thing to notice is that actually this four-point correlation function is much greater than FNR squared. This is because the FNR squared is actually something like this. So this is FNR squared because this is FNR and this is another FNR. But in the four-point correlation function case, we don't need these two interaction vertices. So we have this kind of thing. So the tau and L is much greater than FNR squared. So this is different from a number of other inflation models. For example, Covington scenario, something like that, where T and L is of order FNR squared or much less than FNR squared. And also there is an interesting connection between this kind of scenario and the feeding mechanism by Neil and Sarah, that the feeding mechanism, as far as I understand, is kind of a new scaling of non-Gaussianity, which means that, so usually the non-Gaussianity scales as, say, power spectrum, bi-spectrum, tri-spectrum. In other words, two-point function scales as something, three-point scales as something squared, four-point something to the third power. But for the feeding mechanism, the non-Gaussianity scales as two-point function is something squared, three-point function something to the third power, four-point function something to the fourth power. And here, somehow, we have this kind of scaling. Because if we consider this kind of transfer vertex only, I mean the transfer from isocurvature to curvature direction only, then we exactly have the rescaling that when how many external line or how many isocurvature direction we have, then how many vertices we have. So this has the same scaling with the feeding mechanism. However, if we consider this kind of vertex, the interaction vertex, the scaling doesn't hold anymore. So in the strongly interacting case, our non-Gaussianity scales the same as the feeding mechanism, which might be an example of that. And also, I want to talk about some preliminary results about greater mass. Say the mass is greater than Hubble parameter, but not too much. We expect we have this kind of possibility to investigate greater mass because the inflating field need to couple to some other fields to reheat the universe. However, when inflating field couples to some other field, there will be a similar problem as the Higgs hierarchy problem because we want to stabilize the inflating mass. This is to say that very probably just above the inflation scale, there should be another new physics scale. And this is an analog of why we expect to see something other than the Higgs in the LHC. So we also expect there will be some other slightly greater than Hubble parameter kind of physics. And for the first step, we considered the same model, the turning of trajectory, Quanxi single field inflation model, and extend the calculation to.
So I've got a nice, I've got a symmetry which makes the angular direction flat, and I've got some other scaling in the dial, which is the curvature in the flat direction. They're connected to the size of the circle somehow. So what's the argument? In that case, what would be the new physics that you think you need?
I mean that, say, if there are other fields that couples to the angular direction, the loop correction for the other fields.
How about the radial direction? Is it? In that case, there is a symmetry that's protecting it, right? So.
Yeah, if there is a symmetry protecting, that will be fine.
Okay, so you say you're thinking of a case where you don't have a shift type symmetry or something.
Yeah, this is the case. So actually, I want to say something analog to the Higgs physics.
But the Mexican hat is Higgs physics. That's what I'm asking. So in that case, the Higgs physics analogy for you was something else coupling to the Higgs, which would be correcting. In my mind, that's correcting the mass of the sigma field, not of the.
I see your point. Yeah, I see your point. This is because there is a exact symmetry, SO2 symmetry about the Higgs field. But here we don't have an exact symmetry about the turning direction. It might be approximate symmetry. In this case, there is no problem. But if there is no symmetry protecting, there will be a problem.
But you're trying to maintain you're asking why is there a hierarchy between the curvature of the circle along the bottom trough and the mass of the sigma field? Is that the?
Right. So actually, I'm arguing something more general. Yeah, in that simple model, maybe we cannot see the physics because in the simple model, the other isocurvature direction is not the physics that stabilize the turning of trajectory.
Yeah,
actually, I'm thinking about something more general.
I mean, it seems to me the argument, I'm not sure how much it makes it, the argument is that you expect to see new particles in the LHC just above the scale where, I guess they scale a fixed mass. And therefore, same reason you expect to see particles just above the scale of it.
Yes, this is my argument. Yes.
Yeah, and I suppose in the case of that, I see the argument is that you have supersymmetry that protects the mass of Higgs, but supersymmetry predicts other particles. So if supersymmetry is broken at 100 GeV,
yes.
then you should see these other partners at higher energy scales. So I'm not sure, maybe that's just something that's specific to supersymmetry. Right? But do you see? That argument?
So the way that argument coming is phrased, I could say that unitarity, if you didn't put anything else in, unitarity would fail at scales which are the basically W mass divided by the coupling that was relevant to like alpha, and that's relevant to the scale. So what would be the parameter that is telling me where these things come in? So I've got things whose masses are at the Hubble scale, and you're predicting something to be heavier than that by some amount. What's the parameter that controls how much?
So actually, here I cannot see the similar story of unitarity in standard model. The only thing I can see, because unitarity is kind of, we need Higgs. If we have Higgs, then there is no unitarity problem as far as I can understand.
Right.
But here, we are not saying we need Higgs. The Higgs is something analog to the inflation direction. And now, we want to say that the Higgs mass is stabilized. In other words, the hierarchy problem of Higgs.
Right.
And the analog here we want to say is that very probably there is some new physics that stabilize the inflation scale. For example, supersymmetry. because in this case, probably there was supersymmetry, but supersymmetry was broken by De Sitter background, and the scale of breaking of supersymmetry is of order Hubble parameter.
So this is the question of why anything's at the HP scale at all.
Yes, actually they're related. Yes. So, again, we have this kind of C1 and C2. C1 comes from one term here, one term here. C2 comes from both of them come from here, or both of them come from here. And so now we are considering a little bit massive. So the mu parameter defined here is real. And this one is purely imaginary. And we can calculate, we can integrate out C1 and C2 analytically, actually. That so the indefinite integral here can be written as a generalized hypergeometric function, and we take the limit of infinity and zero, and eventually C1 turns out to be this kind of simple form. And also we check the analytical result and numerical integration, and they match very well. And also we can making some more effort, we can integrate out this expression explicitly, that this is a hypergeometric function, and I expand here and integrate out with the hypergeometric function and resum the result eventually to get an exact result for any kind of mu. And what we get is C2 is this kind of expression where the Poisson-1 function is a derivative of the gamma function. And we also checked the numerical and analytical results. They indeed agree. Ah, sorry. Mu is the imaginary version of nu. So it's defined here.
What's the relation between the C1, C2?
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to mention that C equals to C1 plus C2.
Okay, so at some point C2 is smaller than zero, so you will actually see the total C is smaller than zero?
No. So the story is as follows. At some point, C2 is smaller than zero, but at that point, C1 is greater than C2 in absolute value. So we always have the correction is greater than zero, but at late times, C2 will dominate. And I will show what's the large mass limit. If we take the large mass limit of the story, we will find that C1 goes like something like this, and C2 goes like something like this. And I think we have an interpretation of this, because the C1 parameter, as I mentioned before, comes from one interaction from here and another interaction from here. So it's something like we do an expectation value of zeta squared at leading order at a thermal state, because the zeta space is more or less a thermal state. And from, so the massive physics in a thermal state will be surprised by a Maxwell-Boltzmann factor. And indeed, we have a Boltzmann factor here because the h over 2 pi factor is exactly the Gibbons-Hawking temperature of the zeta space. So we indeed have a Boltzmann factor, but this is not the dominant contribution. The dominant contribution is C2, which comes from, say, both of the integration comes from one time ordering or from the entire time ordering. If they come from the time ordering, so it is exactly the same calculation in formalism and in out formalism. So it is not a feature of in formalism, but a feature of time ordered integration or a feature of quantum field theory. So this factor comes from effective field theory. And indeed, from the point of view of effective field theory, we expect a power law suppression instead of exponential suppression. And there are some next steps we have in mind, but we haven't worked on yet, that what if we consider interactions? This is because, for example, in grand unification theory, we have the force unifies, I'd say, a little bit higher than inflation scale, and the interaction is the fine structure constant is this value, which means that the parameter appearing in the Lagrangian is actually quite large. So we expect the large mass fields might have some strong interaction here. So the picture is that here the vacuum is kind of strongly interacting vacuum, and we consider the correlation function that coming out of the vacuum. And actually, this is a problem of interaction. Also, if I really need to make connection between our case and the trans-Planckian problem, we need to consider interaction, because the trans-Planckian problem is also a problem of interaction. In other words, the Planck scale, if we consider linearized gravity, it is nothing than trivial, because we can rescale the field to let Planck scale vanish. Planck scale is the scale that interaction becomes important at here. So if we want to say we are considering a Tauy model of trans-Planckian problem, we also need to consider interaction. So, and also we considered in some work that maybe we are not going to publish, but maybe worth mentioning, that we consider a sharp turn of the trajectory. In other words, previously we considered a continuous turn, and now we want to consider a very sharp turn, where the turning of trajectory can be approximated by a delta function. And in this case, generally there are two effects. It is even sharper. There is a new scale. Actually, exactly, there are two terms that is relevant. One term comes from the isocurvature mass, and another comes from this scale. And we make the scale here to be more important.
More important since it's the larger mass.
Yes, it's the larger.
Can you comment on how big an editor you see in this case? Because at perpendicular vector is how characterized how sharp the turn is, but how large?
Yes, we can describe in that language as well. So there are two kinds of physics happening in a sharp turn picture. One kind of physics is that the velocity of the inflationary direction will go into the isocurvature direction, so there is oscillation. We didn't, at least at that time, we don't know how to calculate the oscillation in the isocurvature direction. So we didn't want to publish this paper, but anyway, so we are considering the effect that the vacuum in the inflation direction is projected onto the vacuum of isocurvature direction. And in this case, we have this kind of nonlinearity, which is, at least to my knowledge, a kind of new shape of nonlinearity. Because usually when we are talking about oscillating shape, it's oscillating around one direction, but now we are oscillating around the summation of momentum k. Okay, I have been using too much time because there is another part. Anyway, so as a quick conclusion for the quantity single field inflation case, we argued that the mass range, mass of order half a parameter, is interesting. It is not showing up in background, but it shows up in perturbations. The naturalness of quantity single field inflation, in some sense, comes from the unnaturalness of inflation, which I mean the eta problem, and also the mass smaller than h and the greater than h part has its own has its own physics. And we also have some ongoing or in mind direction here. And now I want to very briefly mention the progress and the recent progress on multi-stream inflation. So the question I want to ask is, what are the observables for inflation? Previously, I thought that the observables for inflation are kind of, say, calculating the two-point function, three-point function, four-point function, etc., for the inflation direction, for the isocurvature direction, for the gravitational waves. These are the kind of observables. In other words, we follow one classical trajectory and do expansion around that. But now, my mind has changed that they are not a complete set of observables. In other words, inflation might not only generate momentum space features, but as well generate position space features. And this is the idea of multi-stream inflation, that during inflation, there might be bifurcation of inflation trajectory. For example, some kind of bifurcation like this. So this is a cartoon for multi-stream inflation. And by the way, this is a cartoon of ghosts. So as a model, we consider that there is a direction of inflation like this, and during inflation, the direction met some bump in the potential, and eventually it bifurcates into A trajectory and B trajectory. And a bifurcate means the classical trajectory in some part of the universe goes around A, goes along A. In some other parts of the universe goes along B.
A position dependent field where in some domains.
I mean like this. So you say in some part of CMB is A, another is B. So it's kind of position space feature. And for this scenario, there might be two general possibilities. One possibility is that the multi-stream inflation might be a realistic scenario where the bifurcations are under control. And there is another possibility that there are bifurcations everywhere in the potential, so that the bifurcation is not under control and there are problems for this kind of inflation. And in this case, multi-stream inflation will give a constraint for inflation happening in the landscape, for example, in the string landscape.
Depending on quantum fluctuations,
yes.
We go either one way or another. So yeah, so it's classical everywhere except where the fluctuations.
Yes, exactly. Thank you.
Is it important when they meet again later on in your picture? They're splitting up and joining again. Is the rejoining of playing a role?
So if we want to have any realistic model, the rejoin is important, plays a role, because if they do not rejoin, there will be a domino between them. So actually, either they rejoin or they repeat to the same peak. Otherwise, there will be a domino in between, which is disaster for cosmology.
Sorry, what
is
observability effect of this bifurcation?
Yes.
What's the observability features of this bifurcation?
Sorry, what
is the observability?
Yes, I will mention that.
So the domain will appear for a short period of time and disappear.
Yes.
And what's the scale compared with the total scale?
You mean the width of the domain?
Yeah.
It is really model dependent, but I hope the width is smaller than Hubble scale.
Okay.
Otherwise, it might be not under control, and I don't know what happens. So now I was saying that multi-stream inflation could be a realistic scenario or could be constrained on the landscape. So first, I briefly mentioned when it is a realistic scenario. If we consider it as realistic scenario, again, we have two possibilities. That one possibility is that the bifurcation is nearly symmetry, and another is the bifurcation is not symmetric at all. By nearly symmetric, I actually mean two things, that the unfolding number along two different trajectories is almost the same, and also the bifurcation probability to go along one direction and another direction is almost the same. In this case, the observational signature is as follows. First of all, at the bifurcation scale, we will have an extra fluctuation from the Dirac formalism, because the field which rolls along one trajectory and another trajectory might have different unfolding number. And the different unfolding number in the CMB means that some part becomes hotter and some part becomes colder at the scale of order the bifurcation scale. So there is an extra fluctuation at the bifurcation scale. And also, yes?
How is this different from, I think just a model where you have a field that's stochastically varying, you know, the stochastic inflation picture where it has different values in places?
I will not come to that exactly, but first of all, actually there is a continuous limit from this case to that case. What I was considering is that there, because of the bumps of the potential, there are a finite number of classical trajectories, and also the stochastic inflation scenario, most usually they consider, say, internal inflation, something like that. So we can also apply this to eternal inflation, but I'm now here talking about observable inflation, the challenge and the problem. So the bifurcation, so at the bifurcation scale, there is an extra fluctuation. And also in smaller scales than the bifurcation scale, the power spectrum inside regime A and inside regime B might also be different because they are going along different trajectory. So they don't need to have the same power spectrum. And also, the extra fluctuation and the different power spectrum, they are different scale physics, but they are related, they are correlated. They are correlated because it is the isocurvature fluctuation at the bifurcation scale that determines whether the trajectory goes A or goes B. So both of the feature at the bifurcation scale and smaller than the bifurcation scale are determined by the isocurvature fluctuation, so they are correlated. The correlation between different scales is a non-Gaussianity. And we also considered the asymmetric case of bifurcation with Niesh and Slosa that we could have an explanation on the cold spot on the CMB. And the idea is that if we consider, say, there are only a few bifurcation events in our universe, in other words, the bifurcation at the bifurcation scale is more probably to go one direction and less probably to go to another direction. And in this case, we have several small bubble universe, several small bubbles in our universe. And consider a small bubble. If the small bubble reheats earlier than the other parts of the universe, then the universe, the energy density expands, and eventually the bubble, considering a flat slice, will have lower energy density than any other parts of the universe. So we have an under-dense regime. And on the other hand, if it reheats later, it will result in an over-dense regime. And this can be related to the cold spot as if the bubble has intersection between the last scattering surface, we will need an over-dense regime to have a cold spot. And if the bubble is inside, we will need an under-dense regime to have a cold spot. And yeah, so maybe I briefly talking about what's this. So recently, not recently, say of over 1 year ago, there is a paper by several papers by Penrose and Gujadian talking about there might be ring structures in the CMB. And they are saying inflation cannot, or very difficult to explain this kind of ring structures. And I'm claiming that it's actually not the case. Because if we are considering there is monopole and there is a double field inflation coupling to the monopole, we could also generate kind of ring structures in the CMB. So probably we are not going to publish this paper because it's kind of, the story here is in debate. And also the potential here is quite ugly that we put by hand. But anyway, the claim is that multi-stream inflation is kind of inflation scenario that could generate position space features. So if in the future there are kind of position space features on the CMB was discovered, multi-stream inflation might be kind of tool to explain that. So previously, I have been talking about the good things about multi-stream inflation, say it might be able to explain cold spots, might be able to explain non-Gaussianity, and also the ugly things of multi-stream inflation, that if we put a potential by hand, we could explain a lot of other things. And now I want to talk about the bad things. The bad things of multi-stream inflation is that if the bifurcation is not under control, say a different part of the universe, the trajectory goes to very distant trajectories, then there will be a domain wall problem. Also, there will be an isotropy and an inhomogeneous problem, a lot of problems. However, a bad thing, on the other hand, can be also useful.
That hill is very much like coming down the hybrid equation and hitting the waterfall. Right?
That's right.
But then the simulation that Lev Kopp and his guys just do showed you what happened. Like it's like spin over, it's a spin over decomposition, right? And so the fields, you get gradients, like you say, you get them very rapidly in there, and different places in space are fields are very strongly. And then it very quickly thermalizes, right? So why is it different than that?
So the difference is that we are doing things during inflation.
Right.
they are doing things at the end of integers.
But this depends on how steep the cavity direction is. If it's just a tiny bump, then it's not going to do anything. The inflation will continue. We will continue differently in different directions.
So those,
you assume
as one is
all that is assumed
ending inflation.
Yeah, so the question is how steep is it? If it's a big bump, in a big valley, then that's exactly you can end up inflation. But it's just a smooth bump. That is much smaller than the scale of inflation, you just get two different trajectories. You still have to play.
Yeah.
I think I'd be more worried about the size of the domains that go one way versus the other.
Yes.
Because if it's smaller than horizon size, then there really is a difference in the number of e-foldings. There's an energy gradient.
You mean in this case?
No, I mean in the original case.
Yes.
So if it's exactly the same path, then these walls wouldn't want to go one way or the other. But if it's a different path, and one path has a lower energy density,
yes,
then unless those domains are bigger than the horizon size, the places that are higher energy density are just going to implode. The places that are higher, that are lower energy density are going to survive, and then effectively you only have one path.
So you are worrying about the domain wall between them or the inside?
So I imagine that the universe bifurcates,
yes,
just like in the spinodal,
yes,
stability into these different regions.
Yes.
And the regions that have higher energy density are going to want to get eaten up by the regions with lower energy density.
I think that's nothing more than the acoustic oscillation.
No. This is during inflation. So we have this over density, and it's going to want to collapse unless something supports it. So the question is, how big is that region? Because if that region is on average bigger than a horizon size, it can't collapse.
During inflation, the inhomogeneity doesn't collapse. I mean, the structure doesn't grow during inflation.
Well, it depends. So here you have, it's different here because you really have this region which has lower energy density that's possibly surrounding a region with higher energy density.
That's right, but that is super Hubble scale. The surrounding is at super Hubble scale.
Okay, so if you tell me the domain size is bigger than Hubble scale, I'm not worried. But
yeah,
if it's smaller than Hubble scale, I would be worried, and that's the case in this nodal instability. All these features have a scale that's vastly different than the scale of the horizon size. So they collapse and interesting things happen.
Even in the other case, why isn't that region mentioned? Just independent inflation inflating domain. This region is like the bubbles that are in internal inflation where they're all expanding at different rates set by whatever their local patch is.
This would be a small bubble compared to Hubble regions, right?
But it's small when you have a collapsation.
Yeah.
If it's smaller than Hubble, then that doesn't work. It should be bigger,
yeah,
than Hubble.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, suppose if you imagine it could be both. You could have a smaller and bigger one. The smaller one would just collapse, but the bigger one would survive.
So, I mean, quantum fluctuations in percent super Hubble size regime for this to work.
So, because the quantum fluctuation becomes classical fluctuation at the Hubble crossing. So, eventually, there are classical different regimes.
Yeah. How did we get here to start about?
Inflation makes everything super Hubble.
Well, eventually, but when we form this, is it?
Well,
I
mean,
well,
yeah. Okay. So, so this kind of thing, I'm saying that it might lead to some disaster, and this kind of disaster, on the other hand, could be something sort of as constraint of a random potential or constraint of the inflation in your landscape. So.
Study like to just generate a random landscape, how often this classification
will work. Yes, I will talk about this problem, exactly. This is exactly the problem I'm going to talk about. So I don't have a lot of time, so maybe minus time, so I'm going to talk about this, split something. Anyway, so the setup in our case is as follows. We have an inflation direction and an isocurvature direction. By inflation direction, I mean we have a slope in the potential, which is slope in the potential, and also a small random potential. And in the isocurvature direction, we only have a random potential. Say, otherwise, the direction is completely flat. And also, we have a parameter lambda to be the ratio of the slope of the inflation potential and also the random potential. And to keep slow roll, we keep lambda to be much less than 1. But the thing we need to note is that even lambda is much less than 1, in other words, even the phi 1 direction is not affected because the phi 2 direction has no inflation potential. So the random potential will have important significance on the isocoefficient direction if it is quite massive. And the equation of the isocoefficient direction is like sometimes the isocoefficient direction has positive mass squared. Sometimes it will have tachyonic mass because this term is random. And there is a question that in which case the fluctuation will grow and in which case the fluctuation doesn't grow. Because if it were tachyonic mass forever, the fluctuation will grow. And indeed, there is a phase transition between the growing of perturbation in isocurvature direction and the oscillating behavior of perturbation in isocurvature direction. This kind of phase transition happens when we turn the parameter 1%, there will be transition between oscillating and expansion and the amplification. And here, the point is that if the fluctuation in the isocurvature direction is amplified exponentially by the tachyonic instability, the isocurvature fluctuation will become large, and then bifurcation in the potential will become frequent. So the amplification of fluctuation is related to the bifurcation of the potential. And I will skip the detail and show that indeed, we find that there are parameter regimes that has a large probability of bifurcation. Because this is a heat map, so that this is the probability of bifurcation shown by colors, that at this regime and this regime, the bifurcation probability becomes large. And the parameter here and here is that, so the parameter here means what's the mean distance between the features in the potential, measured by Hubble parameter. So actually, even the mean distance is a lot of times greater, say 10 to the 3 greater than Hubble parameter, there still might be bifurcation. And the parameter here is the shape of the bump. I mean, the shape of the bump is like this or like this. If the shape of the bump is like this, it will be more probable to bifurcate. And if the shape is like this, it will be less probable to bifurcate. And also we can show explicitly what's the problem of the bifurcation that is not under control. The problem is that we can calculate the evolving number of different trajectories. And we find that if there is no bifurcation, we expect the evolving number is a Gaussian distribution. But now with a bifurcation without control, the evolving number becomes peak here, here, and here. Actually, in this case, there are 3 classical trajectories. So in this case, the observation will be not consistent with CMV. And also there will be a domain wall problem if they do not repeat to the same thing. Because the domain walls will undetectably will grow in late time cosmology.
I thought your picture though was that bifurcation happened during inflation. Well, after you hit the hill,
is when you inflate. You mean when there is some wall? Or in other words, you mean when the bifurcation trajectory does not recombine? Are you saying in this case?
Well, the recombining seems like it's extremely unlikely. So I kind of put this counting when the recombining ever happened.
Yeah.
And then you said that would be a bad thing because there would be main walls, but I don't see why you have to have main walls in the sense that I don't see why it's so different than just having a no hill but having a potential which had kind of random edges to it. Depending on what direction you go, you fall off the hill dimension of inflation at different times, which is the usual picture for slow roll inflation. Right?
So the question I want to say is there are domain walls here.
Yeah, but the question is are we living deep inside one of those squares, or are we seeing the whole picture? If we're living deep inside one of those squares, then the main walls are there, but we don't care.
It is in our observable universe.
Why?
Because it is really model dependent. And we want the bifurcation. Sorry?
I thought you said they were super Hubble.
It is really model dependent that if we want the bifurcation to be observed in our, say, in our universe, in the CMB, we want the bifurcation to happen in sub-hub scales instead of super-hub scales. Otherwise, anything will happen in the unobservable patch of inflation, and we don't care.
So is that a very, very small corner of parameter space that you like because it gives you a signal you want to see? And I think, or is it something, which
I think there is a confusion here. So the thing is that if bifurcation keeps happening, then it would happen in the last 60 foldings. And the things that happen in the last 60 foldings like inflation, they wouldn't inflate. You know, you're going to see everything that's happened in the last 60 foldings. So those are the ones that you see. The things that happened before the last 60 foldings, they would go back outside that horizon. You're not going to see that. But if it keeps happening, it's going to happen in the last 60 foldings.
But even after the last 60 foldings, it's outside the horizon. It must be that there's a dot you have, which is whether or not these things are inside or outside the horizon. And I'm not claiming to see stars form or anything in those 60 foldings, last 60 foldings. So there's things I'm not seeing that are happening in the last 60 foldings, depending on how big the fluctuation was. And this just seems like it's one way of getting a fluctuation in space. And I forget why I got it. I could ask if I see it.
But I mean, it's a very weird type of fluctuation. I think it dominates the universe very quickly if you have domain rough. So that's the problem.
But during inflation,
there's no problem. After inflation.
So this is all happening during
inflation. Last six.
But eventually, you want to observe after inflation. Yes, during inflation, there is no problem.
Yeah. Imagine that 50 fold, there is a domain wall, then it fade away, but these 50 e-folds in particular are going to come back in. And so we would have seen some of the limit wall coming back in. And that would have been the piece of the
yes.
So that's the thing that's what they're doing.
Yes, this is the problem.
Just one, not like thousands of people.
So,
should
we time? Finally.
Is it finished yet?
Did it finish?
Yes, it's finished.
I think there was a confusion about the super hubble and sub hubble. What you meant was that they're sub hubble today, but they were super hubble
during inflation. Yes.
Yes. Going back to the quasi single field, if the my guess for the shape.
Yes.
And I have a back in the air room calculation with that. But for the case of massive, so in the case of mass greater than 3/8, the guess would be that you just take the normal quasi single field, which is K1 to the nu, but replace it by I nu. Maybe you add to that the complex conjugate. So I would guess it becomes us. I'm wondering if you guys are actually.
I don't know. So the shape of Nagasanti is, I haven't calculated it yet.
Okay. But it's just because, I mean, essentially, you're saying that when the mass is low, you get a local shape which is distorted. And now it seems like what you would get is just an equilateral shape with less of it.
Perhaps, I don't know.
Right.
So in your plot, you have this AB grid, and they are all equal size. I think it should be all possible size, right? It's just
that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's producing.
Similarly, I'm too lazy when I'm making the picture.
When can the non-Gaussian entities, you call it quasi single field, does that mean the squeeze quite triangle limit? You've got the usual result that the non-Gaussian entity has to be small. Okay?
Sorry, you mean which limit? The squeeze limit?
Yeah.
In the squeeze limit, it could be large.
So how do you avoid these theorems?
Because it's not exactly single field inflation.
Okay, so the pseudo is important.
Yeah. Okay.
Any other questions?
Thank you.